Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
It's a good day to be in church. I tell you what, I am so glad to be here with you today. We were at the Amarillo campus this week, and my kids were with me, and we got home last night, and they kissed the Kentucky ground. So Chapel literally leaned down and kissed the ground. I thought, she is a little excited to be back. So we're glad to be in Kentucky today, mainly because it's not 105 degrees, and it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. So we're I just want to give you a little update. Amarillo campus is going well, and we are doing well, and they're growing, and things are going so good. And how many of you are grateful that we didn't take our first campus and it flopped right after we got it? That's a good thing, right? The people are so excited about what God's doing and what He's going to do in the future. And a lot of people have asked me, what do you guys do whenever you go back and forth? Because we've got our three kids, you know. How many of you guys have kids in the room? They don't always do what they're supposed to do they? Oh, yours do? That's awesome. Good for you. That was awesome. How many of you, your children do not always do what they're expected to do? Anyway, and some of you are like, ours are grown and they're still not getting the hint. I don't know what's going on. So we travel with them a lot, and they've got it down pat. A lot of people ask me, like, how does that work? They are pros. They know what it takes. When the security guard at the TSA tells them that they need to take, they're like, no, I don't take my shoes off anymore. I'm under the age that you have to. Like, they know what they're supposed to do, right? And so I just watch them and watch how God uses everything in the church to grow some part of us. Have you ever noticed that God uses the church to grow us? Whether you're a pastor's kid who's being drug around the country right now, or you're a teacher that lives in Owensboro and you're about to start school, anytime that you connect yourself with the house of God, things stretch on the inside of you. Things grow. How many of you, something has changed on the inside of you since you have started this journey with God? It should change things. Say, Jesse, how many times are you going to have us raise our hand this morning? As many as it takes. It's going to be a good day. We're going to get it done. I'm telling you, the church of God is a big deal because it does on the inside of us something that nothing else in the world does. You can go through any kind of business training. You can be put through life's test without the church. You can go through family situations. You can go to college. You can get your doctorate degree. There is something that on the inside of you that nothing else can build but Jesus and His church. The Bible says that I will build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. So every time I look at my family and I see that we're a part of God's house, we're a part of growing His church, it excites something on the inside of me because I know that we're a part of something that is greater than just us. Did you know that? I was in the airport yesterday and a little family came up and they didn't want to talk to me. They wanted to talk to the kids. And the kids started talking to them and they were telling them about going back and forth between churches because they tell all of our business. I used to have secrets. Now I have children. So we're talking to people and they're just wanting to know every little detail. My kids are telling them all about these things. And so we start talking and they're from a city and they go to a church, but they've been looking for a church that's more like our church. They want to see the power of God and they want their kids to learn to love the house of God. And they were asking me about a church that was in that city. And I told them, that's a good church. They said, yeah. They said, we've heard this and that about the church. What do you think about the church? I said, I think they're great people. I think you should go to church. How many of you think people should go to church? And I'm just talking to him. I'm thinking, man, the kingdom of God is such a small thing. We think of it as such a large thing around the world, but it's so small. And there's an element of the body of Christ that unites us all across the world. No matter where we are, we have a friend in Jesus, because there is someone there that is also a child of God. There is someone there that is also connected to the house of God. And so it's not just one building, but the people of God across the world, affecting a change, affecting a difference everywhere that they go. And I loved it because I just looked at them and I'm like, you should go to church. You should take those kids to church. You should make sure they're in church. They're like, we should, shouldn't we? Yeah, you should. And I'm just encouraging them. I said, what is your name? She said, Stephanie. I said, Stephanie, I'm going to pray for you this week. I'm going to pray that God would put you in the right place at the right time with the right people. And I just encouraged her. And she just looked at me like she was blown away because someone cared enough to talk to her about where her family was planted. Why do I care about where her family is planted? Because I know that when you are planted in the house of the Lord, you begin to flourish in the courts of your God. I want people to flourish. I want them to do well. Everywhere we went this week, we were inviting people to come to church. Everywhere we went. Everywhere we went, we were inviting people. I went up. Lana Vasquez was in our campus in Amarillo, and she was speaking last week, so I went out to host her, and I was dropping her off at the front door of the hotel, and a young man came out, and he said, thank you, ma'am. He was just super sweet, and he's getting the luggage, and he's helping, and poor thing, Lana Vasquez has 15 bags everywhere she goes. So he's hauling it, and I'm just being sweet to him. This is how I'm sweet to young men. I say, do you want a wife? And they say, yes. I say, then you should go to church. And he and all the single women say, yes. So like, bring them in, Pastor Jesse, bring them in. So I'm like, do you want a wife? They say, yeah. I said, then you should go to church. He says, why should I go to church? I'm like, because the best women in the world are in the church. He's looking at me. He goes, I'm not religious. I said, yes, you are. Stop saying that. He said, no, I'm not. I said, yes, you are religious. You're fine. You don't have to tell anybody else. I know. And he said, I'm really not. And people think, you know, that they have to be religious to go to church. No, you go to church and you become religious. And not in a bad way. I know everybody's like, I'm not religious. I have a relationship. That's weird. You are religious. Like, you love Jesus. That means to the world that you are religious. But you're not religious, so you go to church. You go to church and you become more convinced than ever that Jesus is the Christ. And you understand because you're being fed the Word of God. And when the Word of God comes to you, faith grows in your heart. And you become a little religious. It's true. So he says, I'm really not. I said, well, you are, but it's okay. We have a coffee shop. You can just come have a cup of coffee, sit in the lobby. You don't have to go to the service. It's fine. He said, I might do that. I said, you should. So then I just began to just love on him, talk to him, tell him how much God loved him, how proud we were of him for serving our nation. He was a Marine, and we thanked him, and we shook his hand. And then we gave him a really great tip, and all of a sudden, he wanted to come to church. Because people love it when you give to them. They love it when you invest in them. They feel loved and invested in when you do them right, and we act like the church everywhere that we go. Went to the mall with all of the staff from the campus in Amarillo, and we began to go and talk to people about how they should come into the church. And one little girl said, I don't believe in God. And the lady said, that's okay, you don't have to believe in God. She said, but my sister is pregnant and she needs prayer, so I'm gonna bring her to church, but I won't be there because Jesus is so attractional. People that don't even believe in God wanna come, and they have to make an excuse of their pregnant sister just to get in God's house. I'm telling you, people are hungry right now for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the church, it's you. You make it look good, you make them wanna come. I love being part of the church because it's in this place that God changes lives, that lives of the church, the lives of people. Upon this rock, Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. So what is the church? We are first and foremost, beyond anything else, we have to be planted. Psalm 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. They will bear fruit even until their old age. When we were redoing the front of this building, there were these plants, and I love them. They're my favorite ones, mainly because their name is in a song that I really like. It's called A Crepe Myrtle. There's an old song for Father's Day that we used to do, and it said, Crepe Myrtle, ornamental turtle. And I can't say Crepe Myrtle without ornamental turtle following it. So I just love the plant for no other reason than that it has really pretty flowers and it goes with ornamental turtle. That is it. And I have no other reasoning. But when they were taking the beds out of the front of the church, I'm like, we cannot let these things die. Someone has to get the plants. It's something deep down in my DNA. I don't like to watch things that are living go down. So I am saying, please get it. I know I have no ability to take care of that plant. I have proven over and over again that I am a plant mass murderer. It is not pretty. And yet I'm trying to pull this plant out. And all of the guys on staff were like, I just think we should let it go. It's been out for a long time. There's no way this thing's ever going to be planted and flourish again. And Jordan Christley, oh, Pastor Jordan, my faith buddy for plants. He says, I think you've got this. And Pastor Patrick and Pastor Brian, who are faithless, said no. I said, no, I think I've got it. And Brian looked at me with doubt in his eyes because he's seen what I can do to things. And he said, honey, I think you should let this go. It's very large. It's going to take a lot of energy and a lot of people to get it across. He said, where are you going to put it? I said, we have nowhere to put it. I'm going to put it in my yard. He said, we don't even need that in our yard. You're going to personally take care. I said, yes. We don't have time to look for a home. I just have to take it. So I took it to the house, and Pastor Patrick and Pastor Brian proceed to try to kill the plant even further than it's already been killed. They drag it off the truck. They plant it wrong. They plant it crooked. They try to do all kinds of things to it. It looks horrible. And at the end of the day, even my faith buddy, Pastor Jordan, gave up. He just cut the thing down a few weeks later and said, it's never coming back. You need to give up on this thing. But I am a great woman of faith and power. And I said, you can do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to start confessing over that thing that it's coming back because it was beautiful. I didn't want it to die. So I literally left my house this morning. It's been in there for almost, I think, a year and a half or 2 years now, and it has looked horrible, and it has made the front of my house look bad, and I kept it there because I wanted it to grow, and I didn't replant anything. And do you know this morning, I was looking at that plant, and it is 3 feet tall with beautiful flowers, and it's doing well. Yeah. And do you know why? Because it was planted. If we would have left it in the back of that truck, it would have never, ever come back. But because it was planted and it had a chance, you see, you had a chance, and you planted yourself in the house of God. No matter how dead your life looked, no matter how many problems there were, no matter how bad your marriage was, no matter how bad that addiction was, no matter how broken your home was or how lonely you felt, you came to church and you decided to plant yourself in the soil of God's word, in the soil of His church. See, the church, we plant ourselves, and in that place, God nurtures us. He feeds us. He waters us. And then sometimes, even like Pastor Jordan did, he prunes us, even to the point that it looks kind of ugly. And you may not like all of the stuff that God takes off of you. And you may say, I needed that. It was a part of my identity or my personality or my history or my belief system or whatever it was that God took off of you. You may be looking at it and thinking, I want that thing back. I don't look as good as I used to look to the outside world. And yet God just takes everything sometimes because it's just done and He just takes it off so that it has a shot. And I'm telling you, when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you begin to flourish in the courts of your God. And nobody may be able to see it yet. You may have all the things, all the signs of being broken and not okay. But God takes you and He deeply plants you in God's house. And then he begins to nourish you at the root. You see, he doesn't nourish you at the top of the plant. He nourishes you in your roots. And as long as you don't unplant yourself, as long as you stay, as long as you dig in, as long as you just say, I'm not going anywhere. I know that so-and-so didn't treat me as good as I thought they should have treated me today. I know that the girl that I serve with in this ministry did not talk to me in the way that I thought I should have been talked to. I know that I did not like the shirt that Pastor Jesse was wearing this morning, and I am offended by what she's doing, but I am going to stay planted in the house of the Lord. And in that place, you will begin to flourish. Like it or not, it begins to happen naturally, because God's house is a nurturing, nourishing, watering, pruning environment. He is perfectly contributed to every element of how he asks. If a church is built in a biblical fashion, you are going to grow. Because every element of what God has told us in Scripture to build a church like, it contributes to your growth. Growth is not always comfortable. I've been up many, many nights with my kids rubbing legs, rubbing arms, because muscles are stretching too fast and they're growing too tall, too quick. But guess what? When you have those pains in your life as a Christian, you need to know God is doing something big. I'm growing well. Something is happening on the inside of me. God is not going to stop until I become a flourishing tree that is blooming and has beauty. And he's going to do in me what only he can do. And he can only do it where he has chosen to do it. The church. He changes you. He grows you. He builds you. And you begin to look different on the outside. I watch this happen all the time. If you've been in the church longer than 5 years, you have watched someone flourish. And when you get to look across the aisle, more than that, when you get to look across the softball field and see someone that you knew 5 years ago and what their life looked like, and now you get to see it when it's flourishing, it is a beautiful miracle. And it is a very cool thing to watch. And as the people of God, we get the honor and the privilege to watch each other begin to flourish. We get to watch each other grow. I encourage you today that when you see your brother and sister in Christ growing, don't pass by it and not think another thing. Stop, enjoy the moment, and look at them and say to them, you are different than you were 2 years ago. And I want you to know that I am so glad that God has changed your life. Because maybe, just maybe, it's the only thing they need that week to go on and push into the things of God just a little deeper. To know that someone recognizes the work of God in their life is a big deal. I don't know about you, but I love it when someone recognizes that God's changed something on the inside of me. When I first married Brian, it was impossible for me to say that I was sorry first. Impossible. You say, Jesse, that's not impossible. It felt impossible. I had a problem. I had a deep-seated thing on the inside of me. It was not something pretty. It wasn't something that I would have wanted to get up here and talk to you about, even though I probably did. But God knew that there was something on the inside of me that needed to be grown, that needed to be changed, that needed to be fixed, that needed to be stretched. And it may not be your thing, but when it's not your thing, you may think it's not a big deal. But when it's your thing and you're having to walk in it every day, you're messing things up on a consistent basis, because there's a thing on the inside of you that God hasn't changed, that he hasn't grown yet. And I knew that it needed to change. I knew that I needed to grow in that area. But I did not want to grow in that area, because it was easier if Brian was wrong. It was easier if Brian said he was sorry first, because I could do it second, but I couldn't do it first, because I had too much pride in my ability to be correct, to let go of that thing on the inside of me that wanted to say, man, I am so sorry. I messed up. And yet I could not make my mouth move. And Brian would say, Jesse, do you know that you did the wrong thing here? And I would say, and he would say, it would be so good for you if you would say that you were sorry. And I would say, mute for the first time in my entire life. And he would encourage me, he would encourage me, he would encourage me. Finally, after years and years and years of saying it once in a while, then it began to float. How many of you have noticed once you decide you can be wrong, it's really a lot easier to be wrong on a consistent basis? You can take it, right? Because the ones of us who are a little mouthy, we're wrong almost all of the time, even if we don't say it. And so I'm just standing there thinking, I want to be able to do this, but I cannot make myself do this. And I began to seek God about my problem, not talk to God about what Brian was doing, but seek God about my issue. And over the years, I am still not perfect at this, but I am 10 times better than I used to be. I can say that I'm wrong to just about anyone except for Brian. No, I'm just kidding. I've gotten better at that too. But I am learning year by year, step by step. God is growing me. There's 100 more areas that I could share with you this morning, but you would leave very disappointed. So we're going to stop with this one. But every time that I walk into the church and I make a conversation and I hang out with people, I'm given an opportunity one more time to grow in this area, because as much as I'm here, this is where I make my mistakes. And I get to walk in and I get to walk out and think about what I just did and then go back in and say, hey, you know what? I didn't handle that exactly right. If you could forgive me, I was wrong. Every single time that that happens, it's growing me. Not just here, obviously. Everywhere that I am, God's growing me. But it's here that I'm convicted. It's when I stand in my seat and I lift my hands that God says to me, hey, that thing, it still needs some work. And we begin to have a conversation about some things, because there's people around, the pressure comes on to fall into those things that we're still broken in. And we get an opportunity, and then when we get good at it, one of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ walks up to us and says, you killed it. That was incredible. I saw you grow there. Something about someone recognizing the gift of God coming out of you is beautiful. Man, I know that you're shy and that you don't really like to go and approach someone, but you join that greeting team and you smile at those people and you shook their hand all morning. And I want to tell you, I'm proud of you, because you did what it took to grow today. Those kind of conversations are what God's looking for amongst his people, because it's in this place that we're fed. It's in this place, obviously, that we're planted first. It's in this place that we're fed, that we're watered, that we're pruned, and that it happens. And then we began to function with the church, in the church, as the church. How many of you are so grateful that you're a part of God's house? You see, the beauty of the church is that God fixes you up so that you can lift your eyes up, because the harvest is white. Because there's people that are also ready for God to change them, and they need someone to invite them in, and someone to sit by them, and someone to greet them at the door, and someone to check their kids in with a great big smile, because especially on Wednesday night, that mother wants to throw that child across the table at you and say, please take them for 1 hour. Oh God, help me today. And then they come into church and God begins to work on them. And we have now moved from being nurtured, being grown, being fed, being watered, to now watering and feeding and nurturing other people. And that is what God created us to be. In James 1 and verse 27, it says this, pure and undefiled religion is this, to give to widows and to orphans and to keep oneself undefiled from the truth. That is what real religion is. Giving, taking care of widows and orphans, and keeping oneself undefiled from the truth. Taking care of people, if we take it back to the ancient Near East, widows and orphans would have been people that were unable to take care of their own needs, of their own life, of their own livelihood. And it says that pure and undefiled, how many of you want to be pure and undefiled in your approach in this life? You see, I want us to be the people of God. I don't want us to just be like everybody else that someone calls a Christian. I want River City Church, the vision of this house is that we would love people so much and we would live the life of God so well that they want to do anything they can do to get to the God that we serve. Because we should be attractional. Our life should shine bright enough that they want to come in and be a part of the family of God. Pure and undefiled religion is this, to take care of those who cannot care for themselves and to keep oneself undefiled from the world. This is in the Greek, originally there wouldn't have been an and there. It would have been a little bit more like in order that. To take care of widows and orphans, to take care of people that cannot care for themselves, in order that we would remain undefiled from the world. That gives a little different spin, doesn't it? In order that when we're reaching out, when we are helping people, when we are loving them, when we are rejoicing with those who rejoice, when we are mourning with those who mourn, that something is changing in our environment. It's changing outside of us, but it's also changing on the inside of us, because we are doing that in order that our heart, our mind, our body, our spirit man would remain undefiled from the world. There's something about taking care of God's people, taking care of those who cannot care for themselves, that keeps your heart in its right place with God. And keeps defilement, the filth of the world, from jumping into your world and becoming a part of your heart and your life. God wants to do that on the inside of you today. I think God wants us to give, and I think God wants us to grow. I think God wants his people to give, and I think he wants us to grow. When we give, we grow. When we grow, we give. Those things are just unbelievably connected. I can't even like take them and separate them on any level. It's like trying to take a couple that's been married for 60 years and decide whose attributes are whose. It's impossible. They have meshed into one cosmic consciousness. There is no dividing them. They are one. And to rip that apart at any level is to destroy it, to take pieces of it. You see, God, his kingdom, everything about his church, we're giving and we're growing. We're giving and we're growing. This is the thing. If you are walking with God, there are things that help you take steps. If all you're doing is learning, okay? A lot of people just want to learn. I just feel like I need to learn more about God. I need to study more. And they're trying to walk with God, but they're only stepping with one foot. So all they do is just go in a circle every single time. And then other people are like, I'm going to serve and I'm going to give. It's my thing. But they're not learning anything. They're just going around in a circle trying to figure out how to follow God. But when we are giving and we're learning, when we're giving and we're growing, then every time that we give, we're taking a step. And every time that we grow, we're taking a step. And every time we give, we're taking a step. And every time we grow, we're taking a step. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a spot with God that we were not 6 months ago. We're walking. Everyone just wants to grow, grow, grow. The learners in the room, they tell me all the time, I'm going to start doing it whenever I learn enough. And then I've got other people all the time that are constantly giving and serving, but they never want to learn and get any more knowledgeable about what it is that God is doing in the kingdom of God, in their life, in the world, in their faith. Both of those things cause us to walk with strength in God, giving and growing. That's you. Say it over yourself this morning. Say, I give and I grow. How many of you need to give and grow? Both of those things in your life, you know it. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning. Father God, I thank you for the church. I thank you for who you've made them. Father, I thank you that you're building them, that you're bringing them forward, that you're causing them to flourish, be fed and watered and pruned and all of the things that they need. Father, today I bless them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that we don't just grow in number in this house, but we grow in our people. They are growing. They are getting a depth and a strength and a stature in the spirit realm that is beyond anything that they could imagine or think. Father, we love you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name,